news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Supreme Court on Tuesday rejected Pennsylvania Republicans' effort to block the certification of President-elect Joe Biden's win over Donald Trump in the state. The ruling marked the latest in a series of setbacks for Trump and his allies in their effort to reverse the election's outcome, but it marked the first election challenge to be rejected by the United States Supreme Court. Pennsylvania's top court had already ruled against the Republican attempt to get the state's mail-in ballots discarded, which would have tipped the state to Trump. The Supreme Court issued a one-sentence ruling. The application for injunctive relief presented to Justice Alito and by him referred to the court is denied. That's it. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court noted that the plaintiff's post-election challenge of the state law permitting mail-in voting risked the, quote, disenfranchisement of millions of Pennsylvania voters. But that's not all. The Arizona Supreme Court on Tuesday unanimously upheld a lower court decision dismissing allegations of fraud in the November election. Remember Kelly Ward? She's now Arizona Republican Party chair. She challenged the signature verification process Maricopa County used to authenticate mail-in ballots as part of an effort to reverse President-elect Joe Biden's 10,457 vote victory in the state. Superior Court Judge Randall Warner ruled that after a day and a half of testimony and oral arguments, Ward's team failed to prove anything but a few minor errors. The Arizona Supreme Court agreed, settling the matter hours before the safe harbor deadline for state courts to resolve election-related disputes. Certified election results are now considered conclusive, locking in Biden's victory by requiring Congress to accept the Electoral College vote set for next week. President-elect Joe Biden on Tuesday said his administration would administer 100 million coronavirus vaccines and reopen most schools during its first 100 days. Biden also repeated his vow to mandate mask use in airliners, federal buildings, and other places controlled by the government. Biden spoke during a Delaware event where he introduced his picks to lead health agencies and the federal coronavirus response. He tapped Dr. Rochelle Walensky. She's chief of infectious diseases at Massachusetts General Hospital. She'll be the new head of the Centers for Disease Control. Biden's choice for Surgeon General is Dr. Vivek Murthy, who held the same post during the Obama administration. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who will be his chief medical advisor. And there are more announcements. At Agriculture, Biden is naming Tom Vilsack, who held the position for the entirety of the Obama administration. Ohio Congresswoman Marsha Fudge will be nominated as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is still appealing to lawmakers and the Supreme Court to overturn the election results. Buckle in, though, because it's going to get worse before it gets better. The latest health data from around the country has revealed the first signs of an expected post-Thanksgiving surge in infections. Case counts in Alabama and Georgia jumped by about 50%. According to the COVID Tracking Project, the U.S. has averaged nearly 200,000 new cases every day for the past week. Hospitalizations have now surpassed 100,000, the most so far in this pandemic. So there's no way to see those numbers as anything but horrific, that is, unless you're Donald Trump. On Tuesday, he actually spun the high number of Americans who have been infected as terrific. That was his goal? To infect as many people as possible? It sounds like the president was suggesting that the country is approaching herd immunity. It is not. Public health experts predict that herd immunity from COVID-19 would be achieved when roughly 60 to 70% of the population has been vaccinated. In fact, Sweden finally came to their senses and dropped their strategy of creating herd immunity due to massive infection rates. Their policy now is to try to stop the spread of the virus, following the lead of the rest of the civilized world, with the exception of the Donald Trump administration. A review published Tuesday by the Food and Drug Administration confirmed that the vaccine developed by Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech appeared to meet the government's standard for emergency use authorization. The 53-page briefing document raised expectations that the FDA was close to allowing the two-shot vaccine to be administered here in the U.S. The research came out on the same day that the British government launched their campaign to give that same Pfizer vaccine to tens of millions of people in the UK. The FDA study backed up Pfizer's conclusion that late-stage trials had shown the vaccine to be 95% effective at preventing COVID-19. But that still doesn't spell relief. However, on Tuesday night, the administration offered Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer a $916 billion COVID relief bill. It's similar to that bipartisan $908 billion coalition package. This one includes $160 billion for state and local governments, $150 billion for direct checks to citizens, $600 per person, $320 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program, $30 billion for airlines, and $16 billion for vaccine and testing. But in this version, there are no enhanced unemployment benefits. Yeah, it seems that this new proposal offered by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin swapped the $300 unemployment supplement with a single round of direct payments worth up to $600 per person. Not good enough. Mitch McConnell reportedly offered to drop the state and local liability, the big sticking point, to try to get a deal. But according to Politico, Schumer and Pelosi said no. They've put all their stock in the bipartisan negotiations, which at this point are still kind of alive. They said it was progress that Treasury Secretary Mnuchin re-entered the negotiation, but said the unemployment benefits were unacceptable. And here we go again. Some people just don't learn. Donald Trump on Tuesday defended the White House decision to go ahead with holiday parties despite the surging pandemic, saying, "They're Christmas parties, and frankly, we've reduced the number very substantially, as you know." Yuck. Trump told reporters at an event he held to take credit for the vaccines that in addition to trimming the size of the guest lists, White House officials were encouraging guests to wear masks and practice social distancing. Oh, please. Hey, there was a moment of bipartisan cooperation Tuesday night as the House passed a $741 billion National Defense Authorization Bill by a veto-proof majority. The final vote was 335-78. The legislation calls for raising pay for service members, dropping the names of Confederate figures for military bases, and providing new benefits for Vietnam-era veterans exposed to Agent Orange. Trump had opposed the bill, first saying he'd veto it over the bases being renamed, then insisting it include an unrelated repeal of legal protections for social media companies. He was unsuccessful on both counts. And again, veto-proof majority. The Senate is expected to overwhelmingly pass the legislation this week. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.